Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. On Sunday nights, we've been going through John. John 10. Last Sunday night, we looked at our good shepherd. That's what we looked at last Sunday night. The Lord willing, tonight, we're going to be back in John chapter 10. And we're going to look at the shepherd's sheep. The shepherd's sheep. I finished studying for that message last Thursday night. Sometimes I change however things hit me, the order changes. Sometimes I finish studying for it Sunday afternoon at 5:25. I finished that one last Thursday night. And when I finished studying for that, there's something that I just couldn't get off my mind. It just wouldn't leave my mind. Look at verse 28 with me. Our Lord says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Now, we come here to learn about Him. That's why we're here. It's Him. It's a person. We come here to worship Him, and we come here to see Him. I want to, every time I stand up here, I want to see Him. I want to see Him. We're hoping to open this book and just get a glimpse of Him. That's what we're praying for. We're begging for a glimpse of Him. Well, the glimpse that I hope we get this morning is of His hands. That's what I want us to look at. God's hands. Now, in religion, the children are taught, in religion, He's got the whole world in His hands. Okay? And in the same religion, the adults are taught that He has no hands but your hands. In the same religion. Isn't that something? Is that not the truth? Is that not the truth? Start him out young. Let's all sing it. He's got the whole world in His hands. Let him grow up. Now here's the truth. He's got no hands but your hands. Well, then why did you tell me He's got the whole world in His hands? Which one is it? I want us to see what God has to say about His own hands. Or does He have any? As though we have any doubt after reading John chapter 10. But I want to answer that question first. Go with me over to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. It's after Deuteronomy. Joshua 4, and look at verse 22. "Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. He has hands. He has hands. And they are mighty. They're very mighty. Over in Deuteronomy 11, he said, they have not seen his mighty hand and his stretched out arm. They haven't seen it. He said, but you have. You've seen the mighty works of his hand, haven't you? Starting with you and me, starting with creation. The scripture says that God formed man of the dust of the ground. What did he use to form us with? His hands. His hands. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Everything you see up there is his handiwork. His hands form the heaven. Go with me over to Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48, and look at verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. They're sending stuff to Mars right now. A whole bunch of stuff over to Mars. Just Mars. You know, how can we make it all the way out to Mars? And I don't know how long it takes to get there, but it's a long time. It's a long time. Do you know how much farther the heavens go than Mars that we know about? And can you imagine how much farther the heavens go that we don't know about? Well, if this is Earth and if this is Mars, God said, I spanned the heavens, I measured the heavens with my right hand. I spanned the heavens with my right hand. And men and women truly believe in their hearts, he has no hands but your hands. That's amazing, isn't it? That is amazing. Well, in study, I started searching for verses of scripture that talk about his hands. And I found so many, we could be here all day long, literally, all day long, reading verse after verse of scripture that talk about his beautiful and glorious hands. Fact after fact about God's hands. But for the sake of focus and for the sake of simplicity, I just want to show you five. All right? Just five. I want to show you the authority of his hands. I want to show you the refuge of his hands. I want to show you the comfort of his hands. I want to show you the salvation of his hands. And I want to show you the security of his hands. All right, let's start with the truth. Let's go with the truth first. Go with me to Hebrews 10. (Clears throat) Hebrews 10, verse 30 says, "For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." It's a fearful thing. This God who has the whole world in his hands, the whole world needs to fear those hands. Needs to fear them. The reason is because vengeance belongs to those hands. Vengeance belongs to those hands. The Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I wish that the whole world could hear that. I really do. The whole world that's going to go meet the God, the God of vengeance, the God of judgment. I wish that all men and women could be warned. All authority has been placed into those hands. Those hands. All authority. His hand is either for us or his hand is against us. One of the two. I found so many scriptures that said the hand of the Lord was against them. All through the Old Testament. The hand of the Lord was against them. Even in Ruth. Naomi said in chapter 1, "The hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Didn't she? Turn with me over to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles, chapter 20. A man named Jehoshaphat prayed in verse 6. Second Chronicles 20, verse 6. He said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" None. Now there's great comfort in that. For believers, for God's people. Proverbs 21 says, "The king's heart, every king, even ours, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." All authority is in his hands. All authority. John 3 says, "The Father hath given all things into his great and vast and strong and mighty hand." All things. So this is what Peter wrote. Peter wrote, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." This hand is mighty. So, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves under the hands of authority. Here's why. The reason why is there's refuge there. There's refuge there. Go with me to 2 Samuel 24. Back towards Genesis. 2 Samuel 24. David sinned against God by numbering the people. when God told him not to, he sent out and numbered all the people of Israel. 2 Samuel 24, look at verse 10. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things, choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. The Lord came to David's prophet, and he said, You go tell David, I'm going to give him three options. Choose the one you want, okay? Verse 13, So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. He said, I'm in a great strait. You know what I pray? That God would put me in a great strait, and that God would put us in a great strait. David said, I've been caught. I've been convicted. There's only one place I can go. One thing I can do. Let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Now, didn't we just say it's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God? It's a fearful thing. But all who come to his hand begging, Peter said, humble yourselves. All who come begging like a dog to his master. All who humble themselves and fall into his hands for mercy, they're going to find mercy. They are going to find mercy. It's a hand of authority, but it's a hand of refuge. One of these days, we're going to need mercy. One of these days, we're going to need mercy. And here's the truth about God's hands. They're hands of refuge. Run to them. Run to them. The song says, hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand. Never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Fall into the hand of God and you're going to find some rest there. You'll find rest. You're going to find all authority there. You're going to find refuge there. And you're going to find some comfort there. Go with me over to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 13 says, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. All who come to the God of authority for refuge, for mercy, for rest, they're going to hear him say, Fear not. Fear not. I'll help you. I'll hold your hand. I will hold your hand. All who need him are going to feel his touch. Now, if God will let me just enter into this, Lord, just help me right here. Send your spirit to me right here. All who need him are going to feel his touch. As we go through this life, there are going to be times when we need Him. And all who need Him and come to this hand, they're going to feel His touch. All who need Him are going to feel His tenderness, that tenderness of His hand. All who hold on to His precious and loving hand, you know what else they're going to feel? They're going to feel His touch. They're going to feel His tenderness. You know what else they're going to feel? Go with me over to John 20. John 20, verse 24 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Touch my hands, Thomas. What do you feel? Scars. Scars. All who hold those beautiful hands are going to feel those beautiful scars. Those hands are going to be the only ones in glory that have scars on them. You know that? The only ones. There was a precious man years ago, a preacher, and he wrote a song called Scars Up in Heaven. And it says, I'll be looking for scars up in heaven. You won't have to look long. They'll be the first things you're going to see. Scars that love held on the tree. Scars that turn judgment to mercy for a hell-deserving sinner like me. There is salvation in those precious hands. You know that? Those precious hands. We're going to see those. We're going to touch those. We're going to say like Thomas, my Lord and my God. They're hands of authority. They're hands of refuge. They're hands of comfort. Hands of salvation. And because of that, they're hands of security. Great security. Go with me to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Tonight, we're going to hear him say, No man is able to pluck you out of my hands. No man is able to pluck you out of my hands. But in addition to that, he says, I'm not going to let you go. I will not throw you away. Isaiah 49, look at verse 13. It says, Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. He says to his children, You are forever engraved on the palms of my hands forever. Isaiah 40 says, just turn there, Isaiah 40. Verse 1 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Can we not say that? We have received double for all our sins. What glorious hands. Lord, hold us in your hands. Hold us in your hands. Strength, might, power, authority, comfort, refuge, protection, security. Lord, I need your hands. Show me your hands. For Christ's sake. All right, let's stand together.